Welcome, everyone, to the F-Ball NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Hengst, AFC North lead writer at Bleacher Report and Pro Football Focus fantasy contributor. I'm joined this week, like every week, by my co-host, Brian.
Hey, hey.
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's 2014.
It is.
And with the close of the NFL regular season, that means that we've got a lot to talk about on the podcast this week.
I would imagine as much.
Since last we spoke, certain coaches, head coaches had jobs still. The playoff seeding was yet to be determined. And now we've got all that stuff taken care of. So it's
we can look back at everything we discussed last week and just like our picks, you know, some of the things we were right about and others were somewhat more surprising.
Yeah, let's start with the coaching carousel, if you will.
Sure.
So we already knew, you know, Gary Kubiak, he had been fired before the season had ended. Mike Shanahan, he also got fired from Washington, which was unsurprising. We got a couple other, fairly surprising, got Leslie Frazier's done for the Minnesota Vikings.
Schwartz. He was on the radar.
Jim Schwartz is done.
I think that was expected.
For the Detroit Lions. And, of course, Greg Schiano did not last in Tampa Bay. And the Cleveland Browns, I think, in the most surprising move in terms of coaching firings, relieved Rob Chudzinski from his duties as head coach after only one season.
I'd say the biggest surprises were probably Chud losing his job and Rex Ryan keeping his job.
Yeah, Rex Ryan got to keep his job. It looks like he's on tap for a contract extension. Of course, obviously, that doesn't really matter in the NFL. You can just be fired whenever. It's not like that dead money counts against a salary cap or anything like that. It's just money your owner has to eat.
Right.
We already got two hirings as well. We've got Bill O'Brien, formerly of Penn State. He is now the Houston Texans coach, taking over after Gary Kubiak was fired. And, like something I brought up months ago, so it's exciting to me because I love being right, Lovie Smith has returned to Tampa Bay. He is taking over for Greg Schiano.
Yeah, you did call that one, and, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
It makes so much sense. I mean, it's a correction from having such a disciplinarian coach like Greg Schiano, but it's not an over-correction. I don't think that they went too player-friendly. Obviously, Lovie Smith, you know, he's got a great track record. Dude might not have like a Super Bowl win, but he's a very good head coach. Did a lot of good things with the Chicago Bears. So,
and it made sense with Tampa just because he's got history there. And
yep.
They're bringing the Tampa 2 back to Tampa. I'm assuming anyway.
So with these rest of these vacancies, and there, you know, very well could be more. You know, Mike Munchak right now still has his job in Tennessee, and is it Dennis Allen out in Oakland? So.
It sounds. I heard some rumblings that it was like rumblings of non-news in Miami, but basically people were saying that Ross was like evaluating things, and so potentially something else could happen there.
That could open up in Miami.
I'd be surprised if that happened though.
I wouldn't be surprised if the coaching staff kind of stuck around, but Jeff Ireland got the can.
Yeah,
finally.
Maybe, yeah.
So, of course, there are names being thrown about for the rest of these vacancies. Both the coordinators in Seattle, defensive coordinator Dan Quinn and offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel, are both interviewing around the league. I believe Quinn will be meeting with the Browns. Bevel, though, he's turned down talking with the Browns. Jim Caldwell, Ravens offensive coordinator, he looks like he's going to be making the rounds. Hopefully, maybe there's more legs to this than just, you know, Rooney Rules stuff where it's just a joke.
Right.
I'm guessing that Ray Horton will get the de facto Rooney interview in Cleveland. They're going after Josh McDaniels of the New England Patriots. He's the coordinator there. This comes as zero surprise. The Browns reached out to McDaniels last year before they hired Chudzinski. McDaniels was not ready to return to head coaching at that time, clearly. And there's been some reports that there have been some back-channel discussions between the Browns and McDaniels over the last month or so, that he's ready to give it another go head coaching-wise. So as soon as he said that, you know, the Browns were just like, okay, well, you know. And, I mean, the Browns did lose – the 10 of their final 11. They lost their final 7 games in a row. That's actually a record losing streak for the Browns, which I think is kind of the surprising stat out of all that. You know, they had reasons. You know, it's not like they had to kind of come up with some stuff. Obviously, they would, you know, this is kind of an aggressive front office, so they'd want to find a scapegoat for this problem. You know, in my opinion, that scapegoat would be Ray Horton, because the defense ended up being kind of the biggest problem when it came to that losing streak. The Browns, they had leads in 10 of their games this season. But Ray Horton's defense gave up the most fourth quarter points of any team in the NFL this year. They were near dead last in opponent red zone touchdown percentage and opponent third down conversion. So when you got stats like that on defense, you know, I mean, I know why.
Which is surprising. I mean, right. I think that I was on board with you in being optimistic about what Horton could do in Cleveland. They'd had a pretty solid defense over the last couple of years, and under Geron, right? It was still Dick Geron last year, even. They'd been solid and looked like there was a good base to work from, and Horton comes in and they had a lot of issues, and they seemed to regress, if anything, throughout the year. But you know, there could be a lot of reasons behind that.
There were some injuries, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, like about almost half of the veteran free agents that the Browns brought in, and most of those guys were on defense, end of the year on injured reserve. And if you look at those numbers too, if you look at the fourth quarter points allowed, the red zone scoring percentage and the third down conversion percentage for the Arizona Cardinals last year, which is where Horton was defensive coordinator, you know, they were tops in the league. So, you know,
it's not like he had a track record and it seemed like that was a bad hire. It's just that he didn't perform this year. And that's the thing is I agree that there was probably cause here. The losing streak at the end of the year, the fact that they had obviously some clear talent on that team with 5 Pro Bowlers. So I can kind of understand how maybe they felt like it was some underachieving going on, and maybe that the coach was a change that needed to be made. But I don't know. It had to be more than just what was on the field, because I mean, you're only talking about a year of the body of evidence. There was only one season,
and yet another transition year for the Browns. So
and not to mention the issues they had at quarterback, which, yeah, there's been other teams such as the Eagles that started 3 different quarterbacks and had quarterback issues throughout the year, but they also had Foles step up and basically lock that job up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really adapt to Chip Kelly's system and really take off and flourish under it and look really good. And it's not like the answer emerged from the quarterback turmoil in Cleveland. You know what I mean?
No.
It was more questions, and where that's certainly wasn't the case in Philly. So I don't think that's necessarily a fair comparison there as far as the quarterback situations, those two teams. But definitely they had some quarterback turmoil, and that led to a lot of their issues. I mean, we saw the 2 games Hoyer was in there. They looked
3.
Like 3 games. They looked, you know,
like a competent, put together offense.
A completely different team than most of the rest of the year. And
absolutely.
There was other times that they looked decent or like they were right there and could be turning the corner and all that. And then there was other games where they just fell flat on their face. So, I get it. The coach is ultimate responsible, and they had a long losing streak, longest in their history. But at the same time, it's one season, so
it's clear that they want Josh McDaniels.
I think it's more that they wanted to bring in Josh McDaniels than
they can.
They thought they needed to get rid of Chutt. So
you know, but what I think is really interesting, because one of the other coaching names that are kind of been thrown around, a guy who's getting a lot of interviews, is the Cardinals defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. Mm-hmm. The Browns are going to be interviewing him for their head coaching job. So how does Ray Horton ultimately feel at this point? I mean, all of a sudden the Browns are bringing in the DC who replaced him in Arizona to interview for a head coaching job that Horton himself may or may not get an opportunity to get, you know, to interview for.
He interviewed for the Browns job last year after being the Arizona's defensive coordinator.
Right,
so.
And Arizona did not want to. They didn't want to give him the Arizona the head coaching job there, so he left angrily. Mm-hmm. I think that creates an interesting dynamic, where, you know, I mean, I guess Horton could end up somewhere better, but it's just, you know, he's got to feel kind of terrible. So with the Lions, you know, a few of these names have also been thrown around, but now it seems like the most intriguing potential head coaching hire there is Ken Whisenhunt, and he has done a really good job this year.
Well, it's funny because right after the news came out on Monday, that evening I was watching a couple things on the TV, and Chris Mortensen was on, and one of the first names he mentioned when they said, look, we know that nobody knows anything. Schwartz just lost his job, but do you have any idea? And Mortensen was at that time saying Whisenhunt seemed like he made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said that, I said, yeah, he does. And that actually would be a good hire. And then, like, I didn't hear his name again until today.
Yeah, now everybody's
now
all about
Thursday,
it today.
So all of a sudden on Thursday, yeah, 3 days later, now he's there. I heard, like, five other names before this, between Monday and now, except for when Mortensen said that about Whisenhunt. But I like Whisenhunt's name better than most of the rest of them. So, but we'll see. You know, it's going to take a while before he can even interview, considering he's playing this weekend, or his team's playing this weekend, so it'll remain to be seen if something materializes there. But I think that actually makes a lot of sense. I think that would be good for fostering the development of Stafford a little bit more, and exploiting or getting the most out of the offensive situation that they have now. And it'll be curious to see what they do with the defense, because they've kept Gunther Cunningham in place, but it's going to be the decision of the new coach if he's going to stay or not.
Right.
So, but the defense, from a lot of respects, played really well this year, statistically at least. They're, you know, near the top in a couple of those key categories like you like to refer to. So.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good at run-stopping,
for example,
this year. Third downs and all
that.
Red
zone and things like that.
Oh, yeah,
they were
very good at third down and
red
zone.
Right, right. So, I mean, like I said, there's still some holes on defense, I think, there. But overall, they had a pretty decent year defensively, at least statistic-wise, and which is really the only way we can measure. And so, you know, maybe he sticks around, depending on who they hire and how well he can get along with them, or if they think it's a good fit or not, or if they got somebody in mind that would be better. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
With the Vikings head coaching vacancy, personally, I think, you know, even with all the issues and whatever with the Cleveland Browns, I think that the Vikings job right now is kind of the least attractive.
It's got to be.
Just in terms of the situation, there's
I
a
mean,
lot
it's
of...
it's AP and what else is going on
it's
up
Adrian
there
Peterson
that you're
and Cordero Patterson and a couple of guys
Patterson.
On defense, but...
But, they're going to go play in the Gopher Stadium for the next 2 years. You know, in 2 years, this would be a different job, maybe, you know. But there's question marks at quarterback. There's issues on defense. Your better defensive players are older. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be on the top of many people's lists.
They are apparently interested in both Bengals D coordinator Mike Zimmer and Bengals offensive coordinator Jay Gruden. Again, both those guys involved with the playoffs this week, so it'll be a minute until the Vikings can get in touch with them. And Mike Zimmer has already made it clear that he's not going to even answer yes or no of whether he's going to take any of these interviews until the Bengals season is over, which could very well be in February. So,
right.
You know, depending on if the Vikings are kind of urgently awaiting hiring a coach, you know, that whether or not the Bengals coordinators will still be on their radar if you know the Bengals go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I heard Del Rio's name linked to them.
Yeah, I've heard Jack Del Rio's name come up a couple of times. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, there's some teams that obviously want to get this stuff done, get it locked down quickly, like the Buccaneers with Lovie Smith and the Texans with Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And then there are other teams that I'm sure are more content to kind of let the process play out a little bit longer. You know, the Browns can kind of just do whatever they want, obviously. you know, they're. I would be shocked if they don't select Josh McDaniels, whom they're interviewing on Saturday.
I'd say that it's it would be a stretch to say that he's not the favorite right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, any you know, Rooney Rule interviews aside, you know, he's probably, it seems, the most clear path to getting that job.
Absolutely. There is another coaching vacancy that came up today. The New York Giants offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride has decided to retire.
Oh,
so
I didn't hear that.
That's going to be interesting because that offense needs some help. It needs some work. They obviously have a lot they need to do on offensive line. They're probably not going to have Hakeem Nicks. So there's, you know, and the run game is still kind of a question mark. In terms of the reliability, the full season reliability of a guy like Andre Brown, obviously, you know, whatever happens with the return of, not Doug Martin.
The other one.
That other one that was.
I can't think of his name either.
I can't think of his name. That guy.
That other guy.
So, you know, that's going to be an interesting coordinator opening.
Yeah, the
working with Eli, getting him off that interception train. So,
which there's still a lot there, and that was another team that was, you know, plagued by a lot of bad injuries. A
lot of injuries
early on in the season, and then even as they got healthier, they played a little bit better, maybe November-ish, but then, you know, things reared their head again later in the at the end of the season. So, it seems like there was probably some underachieving going on there, but at the same time there was a lot of cause for what they dealt with this year. So
it's something that could get turned around a little bit faster than you'd think, just because
probably,
of the injury
yeah.
issues. And I, you know, I don't expect Eli Manning to have another year like this with all
quite
the picks.
Quite so bad, yeah.
He's got two Super Bowl rings, and it's not like a fluke. Sometimes one can be a fluke, but two is never a fluke.
the Giants, I'm telling you, that you know, it's not they seem like a pretty similar team. They got the same quarterback, same coach. A lot of the defensive guys are still there, and
they held on to quite a few guys a little too long. I think that they put themselves in a bad cap situation and just held on to a few veterans for one season too long, and that on top of injuries kind of bit them a little.
But what was funny is like. Even in the 2 years where they actually put it all together and won the Super Bowl, like they didn't look like that great a team early
no, they were
in,
the, going
in
back
each
and forth,
of those
win,
seasons.
Loss, win, loss.
Yeah, they were really inconsistent and like would look terrible on certain weeks, and then like they should, you know, put it all together on others, and then like they just got squeezed into the playoffs and then got everything going right at the right time. So, that's the Giants. It's hard to tell what you got there.
So, of course, these coaching stories will continue to evolve over the next coming weeks. Another story that broke today, Jay Cutler. Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler has received a 7-year, $126 million contract. $54 million is guaranteed. That's $18 million per year for the first 3 years. So, technically, Jay Cutler basically got a 3-year contract worth $54 million. He's going to remain the Bears quarterback for at least that period of time. You know, I think, you know, it's Cutler's a hard guy to read, but I think he's pretty excited about this only because, you know, Mark Trestman just seems like a dream of a coach to work with, and he really understands the quarterback position, especially well. And I think it's just great that the Bears as an organization decided to get this deal done now, get it out of the way so that, you know, because wait a week, wait 2 weeks, and it's just going to be all this needless sports talk radio chatter of what are they going to do with Cutler, and is Cutler the greatest free agent on the market, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just wrap him up. Don't make him a free agent. Stop the talk of McCown or them moving on with somebody else. Cutler, done.
Yeah, honestly, this is good for Jay. This is good for the Bears.
Yeah.
Great
for Brandon Marshall.
They made strides. They made strides this year in their offensive game.
Absolutely,
I mean, they finished in the top 10 in some of the key categories. I don't have them off the top of my head, but you know, better than they've done in years on the offensive side of the ball.
And the O-line, and I mean, the protection,
as,
everything was
as
just
much
everything
as McCown
just was good.
Filled in admirably for the month or so that he was in charge of things, or a little bit more even, I think. He was playing really well, but as much as that is can be attributed to him, and it's still Cutler is still a good quarterback.
He's a very good quarterback.
He's one of those guys that's on that I hate using that term elite, like that gets so trite and played in sports talk.
Yeah.
But you know, you can kind of there's a few guys that you can throw up into that top upper tier, if you will. And Cutler's not quite there, but he's like right at the top of the next.
He's on
group.
The next tier.
And
yeah.
He's right there.
He's right there.
He's a damn fine quarterback, and he. Especially with you can see what he's doing in this Trestman offense, and why not keep this group together with him and Marshall and Jeffrey and Matt Forte and what they have going there?
It's a very quarterback friendly offense, and Jay Cutler thrives in that kind of situation. It's not like this weird thing, and like or whatever it was that Mike Martz was trying to
right.
do. These super complicated West Coast concepts.
Well, right. And putting strain on a bad offensive line. And
yeah.
They made a couple additions to their offensive line, which greatly improved.
Two starting rookies on that O-line,
and they did an outstanding job.
It was
night and day from what we've seen out of the offense for the Bears, as long as I can remember.
It's just fixing the defense.
Now it's fixing the defense, which has always been their calling card. And so that's actually the big question there is there going to be further fallout there? Like, is Mel Tucker going to lose his job, or are they going to stick with him and see if he can write some things? They need the younger players that they have that they've drafted and hire and things like that. They need those guys to step up, like Shea McClellan and things like that.
But they've had injury. I mean, they've definitely had
some injuries.
Henry Melton. I mean, they were starting a lot of guys they did not intend to start this year.
Exactly.
So if those guys can come back healthy,
I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they made a change with Mel Tucker and
that wouldn't surprise me.
But at the same time, if they stick with him, you know, there's give him another shot. You know, there's a good chance that things turn around, because that's the thing is if their offense can be as good as they looked for most of this year, you know, they don't necessarily need the shutdown defense that they had in the past, and they just need a competent defense that can get a stop when they need to. So. Yeah.
I agree.
Exactly.
I'm not one of these people who thinks that Cutler got overpaid, because, he didn't. You can't look at 7 years, $126 million, and then be some weird knee-jerk Bears fan or Bears hater and say, wait, what? Cutler's going to be the Bears quarterback for the next 7 years, and he's going to make $126 million doing it? No.
That's lazy commenting on Twitter. I saw the same stuff, and I was like, I don't even understand where this is coming from. Cutler is, if he hit the free agent market, he'd be the biggest name out there. And they did a good job of not letting him do that. And
it's a deal that's great. It's fair for Cutler, and it's fair to the Bears. I mean, it's 3 year guaranteed, $54 million. So the Bears at least know that they'll be stable at quarterback for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can move on after that if they so choose.
That's probably market rate for a guy like Jay Cutler right now.
Absolutely.
I don't think they overpaid for him at all. I think that they got him for what he's worth right now.
Yeah, I think they really actually evaluated his value very well.
And yeah, those people saying 7 years, I mean,
it's not 7 years. What? Give me who? Who? Other than Tom Brady, give me who's going to get a 7-year contract and then play it out?
I mean, that's the thing is Peyton Manning got that ridiculous contract, and I don't think anybody expects him to last the whole entirety of the thing. You know, and he's old, and he's made his way through that. And then, like, a lot of the younger guys that get long contracts like that, it's, you know, even if they do play the entire thing, that's not to say that it doesn't get restructured at some point. And
right. Most likely will.
Right. So, I mean, it's all agent play. You know what I mean? Those 7-10 year things or whatever. Not that there's 10 years, but you know what I mean?
Right. Because it looks good for the client.
Right.
You know, the 7 years, $126 million, that looks great. But then 3 years, $54 million, that's the heart of it. So
that's the heart of it.
Yeah.
And so he made between $15 and $20 million a year, which is
$18 million,
right about where he should.
$18 million guaranteed each year for 3 years.
Market value.
Perfect.
Market value.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back to discuss the four playoff games scheduled for this week 18 of the 2013-2014.
Don't NFL go anywhere.
Season. Don't go anywhere. We're here at the F-Ball Podcast. And we're back here at the F-Ball NFL Podcast. It's time to make our wild card weekend picks. And because there are four games, we don't have to just set a timer for a minute here.
We're sans timer until next season.
Yes. No more timers. So the wild card weekend kicks off with four games. It starts on Saturday with two of them. The first one being the Kansas City Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have already defeated the Chiefs this year. They actually defeated them quite handily. The Chiefs have had a string of they've had a giant killer type of season. They've defeated the likes of the Denver Broncos,
the Seahawks,
the Niners,
the Chiefs,
already. So you know they've beaten some teams that matter. Again, they've had some disappointing losses. St. Louis, obviously, Miami.
Bad. They look bad in that game, too. That's the other thing, too, is
they look
a
bad
couple of their
game.
Losses, they just
they, looked
they,
really
didn't,
bad.
They didn't look good. Yeah.
Right, and they had a lot of those problems this year of getting into these huge halftime holes,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes digging their way out and sometimes not. I'm actually going to go with the Colts here. I like Kansas City. I mean, it was impressive just to see them show off their depth last week with their second and third string guys, you know, taking the San Diego Chargers all the way into overtime. But I like the way that in the bigger games, the way that the Colts have stepped up this year, and because they're hosting this, you know, it's not going to be as insane as you know, being an Arrowhead.
If it's at Arrowhead, right?
So I'm gonna go with the Colts. I think Andrew Luck, finally in his second season, he'll get that first playoff win.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one to call. I mean, the Chiefs have been the surprise story of the year. Andy Reid most likely. I mean, I don't think they've announced that stuff yet, right? He's most likely going to be named the coach of the year.
He's getting my vote for the Pro Football Writers
He's getting
Association,
this Pro Football Writer Association's members vote, and we saw a lot of good stuff from them throughout the year. The solid defense, at least for the first half, they were like unstoppable on defense. But they had a good defense for the most of the year. The offense doing, you know, Jamal Charles looked better than he had in a couple years.
No, he looked incredible.
Probably his best season. I don't know without looking at stats or anything like that.
It seemed
like his best season. So there's a lot of good going there. But I think I'm with you on this because something about this Colts team. You know, they won last year, right? They didn't. No, no, they lost in Baltimore.
They lost to the Ravens.
That's right.
Yeah.
They had to go to Baltimore, and
they
that
got
was,
kind of curb stomped.
Right, and I'm sorry. So they didn't win last year in the playoffs, but they got a taste. Now they this season, like you said, they in their biggest games they played their best football, and it's I think that's a lot to lean on. If you're trying to pick a team here, now I don't know that I think they're going to do much in the playoffs in general,
right?
But as far as this game goes, I think I like the Colts, despite the potentially sparse crowd.
Yes, this is one of three playoff games that are potentially going to be blacked out in their home markets because of a lack of ticket sales, owing to a lot of exorbitant cost. Some bad weather being predicted, things like that. So, kind of a bummer. Go to the playoffs and not even.
We'll see what happens by Sunday. A lot of times there's last second miracles and
the extensions are until 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
And local
those are the emergency
sometimes
extensions.
Sometimes local corporations chip in on things and
yeah, that's the hope at least for Cincinnati,
right?
That'll happen.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially with this well, not especially with this, but on all of those situations. But I'd say especially with the Green Bay one. We'll get to that in a little bit. But
So Saturday night, we've got the New Orleans Saints at the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, we've got these upstart Eagles who won their division and therefore a playoff berth last week after defeating the Kyle Orton-led Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, they seemed at one point to have the NFC South on lockdown, but it was not meant to be. That's the Carolina Panthers right now, so they are coming in as a wild card team. So that, to me, changes this game significantly. It's one thing if it was Philadelphia at New Orleans. Obviously, it would be hard not to give the edge to New Orleans in a game that I think... Now, either way, I think this kind of ends up a little shootout-y, but I like Philadelphia here. I like the home crowd. It's going to be cold. It's actually sold out at this point. That's the one game that is. Obviously, Drew Brees, the Saints, they've been here before. They've been to the playoffs. They've won a Super Bowl. And Philadelphia is a young team in many ways. Obviously, you've got Nick Foles at quarterback. You've got Chip Kelly, a first-time NFL head coach. All kind of just flying blind into this situation together, but I still like the Eagles. I think their offense is more dangerous in unpredictable ways, as compared to the Saints' offense, which is just inherently dangerous. But I don't think it's terribly unpredictable, and I think that unpredictability benefits the Eagles, in their home field this week. I don't expect to see a lot of defense in this game. New Orleans, obviously, their defense is playing better than it had been in recent years, but it's not perfect. It's not where it needs to be. It's clearly not where Rob Ryan would want it to be. And I think I don't know. I really like the Eagles. I'm really going for the Eagles in this game.
First of all, you got to give a lot of credit to Rob Ryan for what he's done for that defense. They were a score points only sort of team. Even during the Bountygate stuff, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They weren't a great defense when he was, when there was awards for taking guys out or whatever.
Oh, no, they weren't a very good defense at all.
Whatever was allegedly going on back then or whatever, but they weren't a stout defense by any stretch. No. They weren't a league leader.
No, Greg Williams didn't make them that much better. No.
Rob Ryan has come in and done a really good job. But you're right. It's been especially when they're playing at home in the dome.
Yeah, and when they go on the road, the Saints are 3-5 on the road right now.
And their defense tends to not play nearly as well on the road.
Right.
But I think that there's a lot more to the experience thing in the playoffs than potentially you're giving credit to.
No, I know that experience is huge in the playoffs. Well, I'm just saying Philadelphia's going to get this upset.
Let's put it this way. I'm going to base my pick on that.
Okay.
And I think that as much as impressed as I've been with the Eagles this year, as much as you can be impressed with a team from the NFC East, I have to say that I think this is a situation. You got a young quarterback. You got a first-time NFL coach, and by all respects, they've done a great job throughout the year. Yes, they've created this offense that's tough to deal with, and they've been very successful in a lot of ways. But I don't know. I think when it comes down to it, you get in the throes of a playoff game, and there's so much on the line, and all that comes with being in a playoff game, it definitely helps that they're in Philadelphia. And if this were a regular season game, I'd be picking Philadelphia here. If this were 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, but considering it's the first weekend of the playoffs, the first time all these guys have been in there, I think they did a great job to get to the playoffs. But I think it's going to end here.
All right. Now we head on to Sunday's games. Two games on Sunday, starting with the San Diego Chargers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals are undefeated at home. In their last five home wins, they have scored no fewer than 34 points. The Bengals have already defeated the Chargers in San Diego 17-10 back in Week 13. The Chargers basically backed their way into the playoffs, and because of an officiating error, potentially this could/should be the Pittsburgh Steelers going into Cincinnati. I'm sure the Bengals are probably a little bit happier that it's San Diego. You know, I don't think San Diego's going to lie down to, you know, by any stretch here.
Oh, sure.
Philip Rivers is having an incredible season. You know, you've got Tom Brady doing what he's doing with basically a cobbled together receiving core. You've got Peyton Manning breaking all these records. So everybody's kind of ignoring what Philip Rivers has done this year. He's completing nearly 70% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
He's having basically an all-pro caliber season if it weren't for everybody looking at other quarterbacks right now. So that makes him a big threat to Cincinnati. But the thing is that the stuff that the Chargers do best on offense are what the Cincinnati defense does best at stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I think that only playing at home only enhances it. This team has not lost at home this year. And I think that also gives Andy Dalton a good situation to be in to finally, you know, shake off this thing where, you know, they've gone to the playoffs the past 2 years. They've been one and done to the Houston Texans. There's no Houston Texans. There's no Miami Dolphins. So this Chargers team, they've already beaten. They haven't lost at home. It's a lot of momentum. It's a lot of confidence-boosting kind of circumstance. Obviously, Dalton can falter at any minute. But they have a good run game. They've got this really good defense. I've been crunching these numbers all week, obviously, and I'm hard-pressed, at least on paper, to find a reason beyond Philip Rivers just going off uncharacteristically when it comes to the Cincinnati defense. That would be the only way. Anything can happen, but I love the Bengals in this game.
I'd say more than Philip Rivers going off, it's probably going to be the Bengals shooting themselves in the foot quite a bit.
Yes, and that's something they're capable of, but they haven't done it at home this year.
An issue. Now,
they haven't done it at home, though.
I have to say this. This situation.
They threw like four picks last week, and they won convincingly.
Right? This situation could not have set up better for the Cincinnati Bengals, or for those certain sports writers who pick the Cincinnati Bengals to go to the Super Bowl.
Like myself.
Like yourself. For a lot of people complaining about Dalton and saying that he doesn't have what it takes.
He's only gotten better every year, people.
You don't have to yell at me.
No, I'm yelling at the world, the doubters, the Dalton doubters.
I think we should all take a step back and remember that this is the end of his third year, and this is the third time he's gone to the playoffs. And yeah, he hasn't won a game yet, but you know,
he hasn't thrown a touchdown in the postseason yet.
They also were on the road, I think, in all those games.
Both those games, yes.
So here's a home game
against a defense far superior what they're going to see this week.
You had slated or kind of guessed, I think, that the Dolphins would end up coming into Cincinnati for this game, and he hasn't had a great track record against the Dolphins.
No.
So that might not have been a great matchup for them, or at least on paper it didn't look great, you know, that potential situation.
Those intangibles.
Right, they could have maybe played the Ravens, and, you know, there's a lot of familiarity there, and there's the rivalry, and you know, just at least interdivisional rivalry or whatever, and so that could have posed a problem, but no, they get to play the Chargers. The Chargers, who have, by all respects, had a very nice year, and you got to be impressed with what they've done on offense. They've you know, Philip Rivers definitely, you know, back to the form that, you know, had everybody. I've always thought Rivers was a little overrated, personally.
I've always thought he was underrated.
I know, that's funny, because I had that conversation with someone else the other day, and they were saying he's underrated. And I said, well, I always thought he was overrated, but certainly he's been.
He's rated.
If anything, he's underrated this year because people aren't talking about him all that much, and he did have a very good year.
He's having an amazing year.
And that team, you got to give credit to, what's his name, Mike McCoy, the coach there. He used to be with Denver last mm-hmm. year, and he's done a good job coming in. I think a lot of this.
Wisenhunt?
We hinted about Wisenhunt's rumors to Detroit and all that earlier. I think that this season goes a lot towards his attractiveness to teams looking for a coach, because he's got a Super Bowl appearance and did well when he was in Arizona until Warner retired, basically. And then he goes to San Diego, has Philip Rivers there, solid quarterback in place, and he gets, you know, great results out of him. So
it helps they've got Keenan Allen, who's clearly the best rookie
Keenan
receiver.
Allen, probably the best, yeah, the, I mean, probably the best
up,
offensive rookie that we saw
this year.
He's
lining up all over the field. He's doing things rookie receivers don't do. He's in the slot. He's on the outside. He's running this route, that route. It's for a rookie receiver. I'm freaked out to see what this kid's going to become.
Right,
this
yeah.
is amazing.
No, I think there's a lot of good things going on out there, and they had a great season. That being said, this is, you know, this is still the best matchup that the Bengals could hope for.
Yeah.
You know, a team that they just beat in Sandy, you know, in their field a couple of weeks ago, what it was, a month ago, I guess it was probably.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut that offense down that day.
They did.
What, 17-7, is that right?
17-10.
17-10. And so
the only touchdown was a 30-yard pass to tight end Ladarius Green, who has been under-involved in that offense since then,
yeah. So, yeah, it was a great performance that day by Cincinnati on the road.
Zero for zero in red zone scoring.
They get that team now in their house, a place they haven't lost all year, and they've been playing really well in that stadium. And it's really tough to pick against the Bengals in my mind. This game just really sets up well for them to win. I don't know if I'm completely sold on you as far as the rest of their playoffs. Their chances there. It's going to get a lot tougher after this game, but I think this is one that they can win, and I think it's one they will.
Excellent news. Finally, rounding out the four games this weekend.
Not a lot of news there.
We've got San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers. This is another game that could be blacked out for lack of ticket sales.
Probably the hardest one to pick, I think.
It's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold.
It's going to be below zero.
Very cold.
It's going to be below zero at kickoff. It's going to be about 4 below. It's going to go down to 18 below. Wind chills are going to be minimal at maximum.
Of course, it's a later game, right?
Yes. Wind chills are going to be minus 30 or worse. It's definitely the coldest playoff game the 49ers have played in franchise history. You know, Aaron Rodgers just came back. This is his second game back after his clavicle snapping, his collarbone breaking. You know, obviously the advantage here goes to Green Bay in terms of being able to play in these weather conditions, just because they're used to being in the cold, you know, more often. You know,
it's
Aaron Rodgers
stadium,
and Aaron Rodgers has been kind of, you know, he's saving up his stuff now, you know, because he's only had that one game, so. That makes him a little bit more scary. I still like the 49ers here, though, because regardless of temperature, there's a game plan. It's not flawless, but there's a great game plan. There's a great blueprint for stopping Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' offense. And the Niners don't even have to adjust their identity in order to do it. It is their identity. It's play great defense, get the quarterback off the field, and then run the ball and eat clock. That's
right.
How you beat an offense like Green Bay's. That's how you take advantage of a defense like Green Bay's, and that's just what the Niners do organically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I like the San Francisco 49ers. But I, you know, honestly, weather's going to be a factor, but I don't think it's going to be as big of a factor for the players. Aside from the ball's going to be really hard, it's going to be more of a factor for the fans. So bundle up and don't. Freeze your nose.
Put extra cheese on your head.
Yeah, put some like a layer of heated like nacho cheese, and then your cheese helmet.
Yeah, nacho cheese skin maybe.
Yeah, like a
some sort of molded head gear.
Yes.
This is honestly one of the harder ones to pick because
in
my mind, I called. A couple weeks ago, not to sit here and blow my own horn or anything, but I did call that the Packers were going to get Rodgers back and go to the playoffs. I saw that happening as soon as the Lions gave the division away, and I said, well, this is perfect timing for Aaron Rodgers to come back and then for the Packers to squeak into the playoffs like everybody expected them to. Everybody expected them to go to the
Bears.
Yeah, it was. It was a great game. But everybody expected the Packers to win the division at the beginning of the season. And then when Rodgers went down,
I didn't predict that this was how they were going
to
do it.
When Rodgers went down, it was the Lions' division to lose, and the Lions promptly lost it.
Yeah.
And the Bears couldn't quite do enough to take hold of everything. And you know, the Bears certainly had their defensive issues, and I think that was a big reason. That being said, this Packers team is still what they are, and that's a team with. An improved run game, better than we've seen out of a Packers team in a couple years. While.
Yeah,
I'd say. And since Amon Green, probably, like 5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, definitely one a better run game than they've had in a minute. You know, Rodgers is Rodgers. He's got Cobb back.
Randall Cobb's back,
and that certainly helps him out. They're going to be, you know, who they are. That being said, their defense is not, you know, it's been what's been lacking last couple years,
right.
And especially
this
year.
And there's going to be no Clay Matthews again.
Clay Matthews is still going to be out. I think I have to go with the Niners. I have to go with you and the Niners in this play. Just for the fact, well, let's say right off the bat, it's the NFC West versus the NFC North. And we know that who's the better division there. That's hard to argue.
Yeah.
But you know, the way these teams stack up, I think the Niners defense is going to be able to keep Green Bay's what should be, you know, better than what we've seen most of the year out of them in check. And their defense sets up well. The Green Bay defense sets up well for the Niners offense to really get it going, I think.
Yes.
And
I mean, it's not going to be like last year. It's not going to be Kaepernick read optioning all over the
it's not going to be that craziness.
They're a different team than that right now.
No, and it's but they're going to play the right game, and plus you also have to look at coaches this time of year too, and Harbaugh obviously knows what to do in the postseason, and I really like what the Niners have done the last month. I think I've picked them almost every week. I really feel like they're in a groove right now, and I think that that's going to continue on Sunday.
All right. Well,
yes.
Those are our picks for Wild Card Week here at Wild Card Weekend, as it were, for the 2013-14 NFL season. You know, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree.
And that's cool.
Thanks for listening.
That's cool, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back for the reading of the Book of Bradshaw to send everybody on their ways. Back here at the F-Ball NFL podcast, and as is customary when we end the show, we do it with a reading from the Book of Bradshaw.
Because who doesn't want to wrap up with sage wisdom from Terry Bradshaw?
That's true. So let's get going. Almost from the first day, I kept getting these notes from the suits about improving my performance. Could Terry tone it down a little bit? Or Terry is speaking too Southern. Can he be more Midwestern? One of my favorites was, Terry is appearing too bright on the air and the audience doesn't expect it. Can you ask him to dumb it up? First time anybody ever accused me of being too smart.
I don't even believe that ever happened. There's no way. Sorry to interrupt.
Another time they complained that I was being too deferential to my female guests. But the best complaint of all was, can you ask Terry not to sweat so much? There you go.
That's good stuff.
This week's reading from the Book of Bradshaw.
Terry,
it's only a game.
Hopefully he's still trying to tone down the sweating.
I mean, I don't think sweating is something that tones down on its own. I think you just sweat and then you kind of have to work on it from there.
Well, he can still try.
Kind of reverse engineer the sweating.
Just turn think it out, you know.
So that wraps it up for this week's episode of the F-Ball NFL podcast.
Thanks for listening.
As always, I'm your host, Andrea Hengst. I'm the AFC North lead writer at Bleacher Report and a Pro Football Focus fantasy football contributor. You can find my work at bleacherreport.com. Just search my name. You can just Google me. You'll find me. You can also go to profootballfocus.com. Right now, Fantasy Gold is done for the year. We got some free content going up for the next couple of months, so... keep that in mind.
Well, check that out. Yeah.
I'll have a couple of columns up per month there between now and the start of next season. So, you know, be sure to go to Pro Football Focus, check all that out. And, of course, you can find me on Twitter at FBall_Andrea. That's FBALL_Andrea.
And, of course, I'm Brian, alongside Andrea for this podcast, co-hosting and also producing. And otherwise, I'm on Twitter occasionally at BFAT65, that's at BFAT65.
All right, everybody. So we've got the wild card games coming up this weekend. Everybody enjoy football. Hopefully none of your games are blacked out. And that all of you can stay nice and warm and toasty while you watch your favorite team crush their opposition.
Or not.
Or not. Or at least just enjoy watching some playoff football.
Playoffs.
If your guys, your particular favorite team didn't make it this year.
Should be fun. There's a lot of, they're all good games.
These are all good games. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good set of playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see, especially when we get some of these bye week teams off next week. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see how this all shakes out. So enjoy the games. Again, thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Peace. We'll